Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, the 23rd of July. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're with me today. Now, we have a bunch of stuff to talk about, and I think the first thing we're going to discuss is your sit down yesterday with the CTO of Jamf.
Yeah, it was a big day for Jamf yesterday. I'm sure lots of our listeners know about the company, but for those that don't, it makes some very popular enterprise management and education software, mm-hmm. specifically for Apple devices.
Yes, it's delightful. I have used it. I'm here to tell you. It makes your job a lot easier when you have loads of computers to manage all at the same time.
Right, and lots of people like it in the education space as well.
Yeah.
And that's a place that they're really looking to develop. And yesterday they went public. It's an 18-year-old company, and they IPO'd yesterday on the NASDAQ. Mm-hmm. And in amongst all that, CTO Jason Woody was really kind enough to spend kind of 10, 15 minutes with me because he is the longest tenured, I'm told, employee at Jamf. So he sat down with me and kind of looked at where the company had been, what's mm-hmm. it like. What's it like IPOing during the middle of a pandemic and the the economic uncertainty that brings? And also, obviously, in this era where so many more people are working from home, what does that mean for Jamf and what it can do for customers? Same goes with home learning, those kind of things. So there's a lot of interesting stuff to cover. He said some interesting things that... about kind of the way things that used to be innovative, that were really groundbreaking and innovative, now have to be normal. The situation has enforced that. obviously, he thinks his company is a key part of that.
Sure.
There are lots of users who will probably agree because it's a popular company. And so, it was really interesting just in the midst of everything else going on to look at this one company. It's how close its relationship with Apple, despite the fact it's independent. Another thing we talked about was, the truth is I tried to push him to say something naughty and he wouldn't. He was too well trained. and he wouldn't complain about macOS Big Sur and how difficult that's going to be and that there's going to be loads of problems. He was very well behaved. And actually made a really good point that I've also thought as well, that for lots of people's griping about some of the stuff we're seeing for the previews of Big Sur, for normal in inverted commas users, it brings a lot of familiarity from the mobile space to the desktop. And that was obviously something he was interested in and seemed to be encouraged by. There's a video on our YouTube channel where you can see the whole conversation, but I don't think I'm putting words into his mouth saying that. It was a really interesting sit down. It was on a big day for the company. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, look, it's hard to judge how successful an IPO is at this stage.
Sure.
But it kind of, it was a classic first day. It kind of went up and went down a bit and, never. It was an interesting conversation.
Yeah. Well, and for people who don't know, and there's a little bit of inside baseball because a lot of this has to do with other parts of my life that sometimes intersect here at Daily Observations at the Mac Observer. And I spend a lot of time in corporate IT. And so Jamf, for people who don't know who they are, they basically make tools that make it so that machines can be managed remotely. Everything from if you purchase the computer and get the serial number information, like when you buy directly from Apple, they can put that computer into your business account and you can tell your business account to hook up to Jamf. And then when that person, you can ship the laptop directly to that person. If you've never seen, even if they were never in the office, you can send them a machine, they open it up, they connect it to their Wi-Fi network, and then the computer checks in with the Apple servers, and the Apple servers say, hey, you have Jamf management over here. And then Jamf takes over and it will, skip all the Wi-Fi stuff. It'll go through all those messages that you have to click through when you upgrade your operating system or when you get a new computer. Click OK, click OK. Do you want the S Lady enabled, do you want location services, all that. You can customize all those things. You can make sure that it starts downloading the applications that you need. If there's VPN data that you need to put to the device, you can do that. And it makes it so that all those things are managed after the fact as well. So if somebody comes in and says, hey, Apple has announced, the one I remember recently was the 15-inch battery repair program, like, is a thing. So do we have any computers that are affected by that? And, you know, you go to Jamf and open up the dashboard and go, well, here's all the 15-inch machines we have of that particular model. Let's go check the serial numbers and see. And it makes it very easy to tell what applications there are. You can lock things down really tightly if that's the thing you need to worry about, so that nobody can install applications unless they come through from Jamf itself. And they make it very handy to manage all of those devices. I've done a fair amount of that, and I have nothing but nice things to say about being able to manage and track loads of devices that are in loads of different locations. It's a lot more convenient if you can use a tool like Jamf to do it. So, and they've been around forever, like Charlotte was saying. So it's very nice to see that they're able to go public. I'm glad for that. So yeah, definitely go check out the interview. I think it's a pretty especially now, like, it's a pretty interesting thing to see somebody going through that process, you know, in July of 2020. That's kind of surprising. So,
talking of serial numbers, see what I did there? But do you see what I did there?
I did see what you did there. But we're not quite there yet. We are going to talk about serial numbers in a minute. Serial and numbers, I suppose. But first, I want to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is Devon Technologies. Devon Technologies makes an app called Devon Think, which is a document and information management app for your Mac. It lets you collect, organize, annotate. You can file all kinds of documents, every kind of file that you could want. You can drop it in. You can load live web pages. You can use local files. You can tag things. You can put them in smart folders. You can optimize your workflow by letting Devon Think handle all the boring stuff for you. There's lots of things that you can do in order to let Devon Think take care of all of that, because Devon Think is also using artificial intelligence to help you get those things filed the way that they should be and help you not to lose all your stuff. And, like, especially if you're, you know, working from home now, like, there's a whole lot of new stuff that you need to worry about. So just for my listeners, there's a 10% discount on Devon Think 3, which is the latest version, or on an upgrade to Devon Think 3 from a previous version. So you can get that at devontechnologies.com/TDO. It's devontechnologies.com/TDO. 10% off a full version of the app or an upgrade. devontechnologies.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, as Charlotte said, we're going to talk about serial and numbers now, now that we're back to the show. And Charlotte, tell us exactly what you're talking about there.
Next time on Serial, we're going to be purchased by the New York Times. Yeah, the New York Times company has bought Serial, the famous podcast that started, I can't even believe I'm saying this sentence. It started in 2014. The first series of Serial went out with following the case of Adnan Syed and the murder of Haemin Lee. Mm-hmm. And obviously that show was a huge, huge success. It came out of This American Life, which has also announced a kind of strategic creative partnership with the New York Times. Although my indication is it doesn't seem to be bought by the New York Times. It's still a separate entity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite a big deal. In terms of numbers, I'm not actually sure. I haven't actually seen how much the New York Times has paid, but one can imagine it will have put out a fairly hefty amount of money for such a popular product.
Oh, for sure.
It's a fascinating insight into kind of where New York Times and digital storytelling is going. It's mm-hmm. A fascinating insight into how one show can just go so supernova. We were saying off air, we both got addicted to the first series. Mm-hmm. And we then, I didn't love the second series so much. I kind of fell out of love with it. but I kind of want to go back to the third one. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Serial as well, of course, is that it kind of spawned its a whole genre of those true crime long-form podcasts.
Yeah.
And long-form podcasts in general. I mean, I don't think we would have seen Ronan Farrow's Catch and Kill podcast, and certainly would not have been presented in the same way had it not been for Serial.
Absolutely.
You can see that playbook being covered. There's a whole bunch of shows that you could probably name in the same vein. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting. The Purchase is really interesting in a number of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But for those wondering, Sarah Koenig, it looks like, is still going to be involved. She's the presenter. Mm-hmm. I think the producer, the top producer behind it, is involved as well. So yeah, interesting moves and interesting times.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think that makes this a little bit interesting is something that they do call out in the press release about this, which is that they recently purchased another company called It's spelled AUDM, and they straight up acquired it. It was a subscription based audio service, so. They're looking to do audio versions of news stories, which feels really familiar to me for some reason.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like I've heard another company doing that.
And it explains, I remember, Charlotte, you and I talked about it here on the show, that, the New York Times was leaving Apple News entirely.
Yep.
For this. We didn't know why.
Apple News, because it just didn't want to give its content to Apple News. Yeah. It wanted to choose how to present it in its own way. And clearly part of that, we can tell the picture, is now clearly audio is part of that.
Yeah. And if I recall correctly, we got the news that the New York Times was pulling everything out of the news app altogether, not just News Plus, but the news app. Like, they were out of it entirely. And I think it was the next day we got news that Apple was doing the audio stuff. They were really close together. If it wasn't the same day, it was 2 days in a row.
Yeah, it's all kind of come out in the same.
So it all kind of came out. Like, New York Times was out, and then Apple started doing audio stories in the news app. And also, there's a podcast that you can listen to if you want to hear Apple's take on the stories of the day, read by professional voice actors. And
it kind of sounds like the New York Times today. Well, actually, the Daily is a one single story show, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. And so now we're getting that the New York Times is doing this as well, with this AUDM stuff that they're doing over there. Because they're also doing long form stories that can be read by, they're doing audio versions of their stories as well. So,
Which obviously has really good accessibility mm-hmm. implications, you know, whichever company's doing it.
Sure.
It's also really interesting to me that we're now sort of putting Apple and the New York Times as competitors in the news and audio space, which is just really interesting to me how that has, it shows the shifting sands of both companies.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to watch this as it's continuing to evolve, because, you know, like I said, we got the story about Apple doing audio news, we got the story about the New York Times having people read some of their longer stories, now we've got the New York Times purchased Serial outright. We've been hearing things about other companies that are buying podcasts, trying to get into the audio space, you know, where maybe they were primarily text-based before or something. So, it's been interesting to watch this evolve as things sort of move to this audio format.
I don't know. I think podcasts could really catch on. I think they're a really good idea.
Really?
What do you think?
I'm not convinced.
No, I'm well into them.
It could just be a trendy thing too, though. I mean, I don't know. That's hard to say. I can't keep doing it. I'm sorry. It's only been like 10 years or something I've been doing this. So, it's interesting to watch these, because, you know, obviously these are larger companies. They're a little more deliberate. They don't, necessarily have the mobility, the agility that some smaller outfits might have, you know, like say sites that cover Apple News and crank out a podcast every weekday morning. We've got an awful lot of agility, I would say. Wouldn't you?
I'm feeling very agile, Kelly. I'm going to go for a walk and exercise after this show.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it.
That's how agile I'm feeling.
I thought you were going to say you're walking right now.
That would just be rude.
Well, we'll get you a treadmill desk. It'll be fine.
Nice.
Like I said, it's just been interesting to watch this evolve, particularly as they make these more deliberate moves. Like, we know the New York Times has had a podcast forever. The Daily was...
Yeah, and then Guardian here has copied a similar thing. Whole thing is moving the whole time.
Yeah, and it's interesting to watch it happening now, because one thing that I find notable about it is it's a lot easier to listen to, say, the front page of the newspaper, right, than it is to... on your commute, particularly if you use transit to get anywhere, it's much easier if you're on a bus, on the train, to listen to the front page than it is to try to read the physical paper front page or try to read, you know, scroll through it on your phone or whatever. It's much nicer to be able to hear it. So as people's commutes slowly come back, fingers crossed, then I think this is just a thing that's only going to get more popular. So it's kind of interesting to watch it evolve now when lots of people are staying home and don't have the opportunity to do some of this in a more convenient way. So I'm interested to see where it goes in the short term, because it seems like in the long term, it just makes more sense. So, yeah. And do you listen to any of these regularly, Charlotte?
The Daily shows.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up a few. I have to be honest, I sort of got a bit coronavirused out, if I'm being totally honest. There was only so much I could take.
This is true. Yeah.
But in normal times, yeah, I would. The Guardian one, if there was a topic I was interested in, was always very well produced. The Times, the Daily has had some fascinating insights and interviews. Yeah, these are powerful shows. Look, people like daily news shows. Who knew?
Yeah. Seems like they're onto something. We should dig into this and find out more. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. If you have feedback about this, if you're a person who listens to the Daily, if you're worried about what's going to happen to Serial, if you want to know what this means for This American Life, if you've strong opinions about any of those, if you listen to a daily news show that you want to recommend to us, we definitely want to find out about it. There's no harm in being better informed for most people, I would say. You can always email us at observations@magobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, or you can just leave comments in the show notes. I just do think it's interesting that Serial is moving to the New York Times. That was... like,
yeah,
itself, because like it sort of went indie. It spun out of This American Life in the first place.
Yeah.
And
I assume, I've seen nothing that indicates that you're going to have a Time subscription to listen to Serial. I'm assuming maybe there'll be some exclusive content, but I'm assuming most stuff will come through. You'll still be able to get This American Life in the iOS podcast app.
Mm-hmm.
You can be sure I'll be keeping an eye on how it goes. It'll be interesting to see.
Yes. I'm assuming it's going to be one of those things where the regular podcast is free, but there's going to be like bonus materials and things that you get if you are a subscriber to a certain thing in a paid way.
Yeah.
So we will see how that goes. And as always, Charlotte will be, I presume, more than happy to come back and talk to us about it when it's a thing that happens.
If you ask nicely.
All right. Well, I'll work on that. Charlotte, as always, thank you for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.